from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, how about a little bit of breaking email news? Just got this email, so you guys definitely want to be listening to this. How about this? Got confirmation. We're going to have one pair of front row bullpen tickets to give away during each daytime show, 7 a.m. hour, noon hour, 5 p.m. hour, for our listeners, and it starts tomorrow.
Texans ticket Tuesday.
You can start tomorrow, and we're gonna have them at noon. The guys in the morning are gonna have them at 7, and the drive at 5 p.m. And I got hunches this is gonna be every week.
Us at noon.
Yeah. Yeah,
Texas. Those bullpen tickets are pretty good, man.
They're really good.
I never actually sat in the bullpen, mm-hmm. but I went to meet somebody who was sitting in the bullpen. Yeah. I'm like, damn, these some good tickets.
I watched one game about 6 or 8 years ago from the front row, whole game. It's wild, baby.
Yeah, no, that was some good seats. Actually, because I think it was a winner from last year.
Yeah.
And I went to go meet him because mm-hmm. I knew who it was. And, I'm like, damn, these some good seats. Yeah. I need to snag a couple of these bullpen tickets.
You are ineligible, my friend.
I know. They won't give me none.
You are ineligible, my friend, but everybody listening, most everybody listening would not be. All right. So this is a very serious question, a very serious time for John Metchie. It's all about these wide receivers. Here's the point I want to make, and I want to get y'all's reaction, because last night was the 14th practice. How many practices have they had in training camp? 12, 13, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think last night was the 14th practice. So you've had 14 training camp practices. You've had 2 preseason games. John Metchie has not distinguished himself in the least bit. Like in the least bit. And that's a shame. I mean, we're, just like we said earlier, you're not going to find bigger fans than him. So if you've had 14 practices and 2 preseason games, and generally speaking, you're going to have practice tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday going into Saturday afternoon's game. After Saturday afternoon, I wouldn't be surprised if going into the last preseason game, D'Amico, and this is generally the case, kind of shuts down training camp and you get into your go home, get in your regular week, you know, game week mode, start game planning if they haven't already for Indianapolis. So in essence, it's very possible you got 3 more practices and 1 more game before they are in regular season mode. Is the decision already made on John Metchie?
I think so. To me, even if it's not made, I feel like you got so many other receivers that have been playing better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the odds was already against him, man. You got 3 receivers that's already ahead of you, like no matter what. And the guys that he been fighting with, man, those guys been coming out on top more than Metchie.
Yeah.
And so I just don't see a way where they actually keep him on the team, man. Mm-hmm. I I just don't see it. I joked around with you, you and B. Scott earlier, how I said Cephas was looking better than Mechie.
He was.
And to me, I just think that's a bad sign. And now I was at practice yesterday. He had a pretty good practice yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that ain't gonna do it, man.
Right.
Like you're not showing anything. And
he had a practice. Drop. He had another drop.
What's funny is, the funny thing about that drop was they didn't show it on TV because I think they got back late.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, when we going to see some Mechie? When we going to see some Mechie?
Yeah.
And so I got word that you know, the play that wasn't on TV was him dropping the pass.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my goodness. I've been rooting for this guy.
Who's
man.
Not?
Yeah. And I just think that like they already stat that wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see how he makes the team over anybody, over a Sims or, hell, even Robert Woods, man. Like, yeah. I would trust Robert Woods a little more than Mechie. I know he got a little more money on him, but I would trust Robert Woods over Mechie right now. Man.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you cannot make the team from here. Like I'm sure, you know, texters and people watching on YouTube, hey, wait a minute, what, you know, there's still two guys. I get it. He can maybe make some significant strides and get on the squad and impress us. And all of a sudden, you know, we're like, okay, so Mechie's on the squad. All I'm saying is like the majority of training camp and the first two preseason games are over. And if you had to, and there might just be three more true training camp practices left, as I mentioned earlier. So obviously Nico Stefantank, we know those are a given. I mean, Robert Woods, you mentioned.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if he – honestly, just – I thought he – I'm actually shocked he'd been on the team this long.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was supposed to been get cut. But he actually been playing – all right. It seemed like they want to keep him for some reason. I guess it's not – I guess the money thing don't really bother them.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he is going to make the team somehow. I'm not sure, but
– yeah.
Yeah, these guys.
Noah Brown.
Yeah,
there's five.
I think that's somebody that's a lock.
Ben Skoranek, maybe, probably, certainly ahead of Mechie.
Yeah, because he plays special teams.
Mm-hmm. And then Xavier Hutchinson has been playing. He's been playing better. Well, hell, we're already up to six.
Yeah,
and that doesn't even include, I think, a guy that is an absolute lock, and we saw him with another big return Friday.
Here's the snap on target for Johnston. Reverse spin on the ball. And here's Sims at the 5, cutting left. Now straight ahead. 10, 15, 20. Cuts to the right and down at the 23-yard line. Good return there.
Excellent.
By Steven Sims. And he's trying to make an impression tonight along with a lot of other players. 10:45 to go in the first. Texans get the ball for the first time. Next, dose.
So here's the thing. Steven Sims, I feel like I really feel like he's a lock.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too. When do you actually look at Mechie and say, you know what, that's it? Like, we need to move on right now. Let's try to find something for him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like right now, in their mind's eye, they might already be thinking, all right, we haven't seen what we thought we were going to see. Now, they're going to give him every opportunity. They love him just like we do. And they're not going to shortchange any player, you know, from having a chance to make the squad. But we just went through the guys that... Like, locks for me, obviously the top three. I think Steven Sims is a lock. Noah Brown is a lock. That's five.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. To me, if it was up to me, I would probably be calling Carolina right now. Like, hey, you know what? Let's try to do you a solid.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you back with Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I would try to find a situation that would fit him a little more because, I mean, it's just too many receivers right now, man. I think they got... too many receivers that's ahead of him, and the ones he's actually fighting with are playing better than him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't see if you just looking at the players that's playing better than him or players that's up with him, I think he come out at the bottom.
Hell,
man. I hate to say that.
I'm at the point where, like, some of these receivers teams are going to pick up when you cut them. Hell, maybe get a trade going.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe
just get a trade going.
Yeah, I would – maybe hit up Carolina and say, hey, let's...
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
It has been, there's a rumor out there about Philadelphia and John Mechie. I don't know how substantial it is or real it is, but, like, at this point, you got to do it.
Yeah, I would, because I just don't see even... I just don't see where he is when it comes to playing, you know, with these other receivers, man.
Yeah. All right, so a lot of times the Texans coaches, D'Amico Ryans, like to say, I got to watch the film. You know, post-game Friday, well, I got to see the film on this. I got to see the film on that. Well, they saw the film. They saw the film. And D'Amico Ryans, let's go through this because I thought there was some really good stuff. Last night's practice, after watching the film and another practice under the belt, let's go through let's hear what D'Amico had to say about just his thoughts overall on how they played.
From the game film, I saw a lot of guys who got better. Starting up front, I think Kenyon Green played a really nice game. He's playing aggressive, finishing the right way. Guys just all over the field making plays. I think our D-line, seeing Mario Edwards step in and make some plays was a big time for us. Just the offense, how we executed. CJ, with the first group, CJ Tank. I thought CJ, all our quarterbacks, CJ and Davis, did a really nice job of progressing and going to the right spot with the football. So a lot of encouraging things just from our entire team to see special teams make a play, create a turnover. It's just what you want to see. All three units played really well throughout the game.
Yeah, look, that was quite an impressive performance, especially that he brought up Kenyon Green kind of unsolicited.
Yeah. That's a good thing, man. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. I think Kenyon looked pretty good. He looked like a solid offensive lineman that should be out there.
Yeah.
He don't look like he's seeing ghosts or getting blown up or anything like that. He looks solid.
I'm still going to say we got to see it all the way into the season, four or five games, but it's a really, really good start. Back on the offense, a guy that I'm almost to the point, almost like he's your number two tight end. This is D'Amico on Cade Stover.
Cade's probably been one of our most consistent players on the team since he's been here. You know, sometimes I was telling the guys today, I forget that he's a rookie, right? Because he's been so consistent. He's exactly the guy we thought we were getting, right? Tough, gritty, hard-nosed, and dependable, right? He's been very dependable. He's shown a lot, really, with the routes and being able to catch the football, move downfield, break tackles. Like, it's exciting to see a young player come in and be as consistent as he's been day in and day out.
That's a great thing, man. Yeah. Like, we went into this season talking about the number two tight end position and how we didn't really address anything.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we did. I think it has been addressed. And I know they won't probably give him that number two tight end.
Yeah, but he's gonna be
right
on the field. We don't need.
He's gonna be. So now I think eventually he will become that number two. And as far as like Brevin Jordan, I'm not sure if they're gonna
use Brevin
him as
Jordan
a secret weapon.
Still be around.
Yeah, he's going to be around. They're gonna use him.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like looking for that number two, that traditional tight end position,
and he's been blocking.
I think it's Cade Stover, man.
He's been the middle of the field guy, big time, just like Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
He's still going to play a lot because you still got to see more.
Yeah. I think in the perfect world, they probably wanted Quatoriano to be that traditional tight end person, but he can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
So I think Cade Stover would be that guy, and Brevin Jordan they're going to use him in some cool different ways.
Now, if there were MVPs of a preseason game, Danielle Hunter would have been the defensive MVP. And we'll talk about that at noon because there's a lot there. But Tank Dell would have been the offensive MVP, especially everything that he's been through.
Tank is, you know, one of our most explosive players. It's always exciting to see him when he gets the ball in his hands. He's shown that, man, from U of H. Like, he's been an explosive player. He comes here his rookie year. He was dynamic and explosive for us again. I tell Tank, that's who you are, right? I expect you to be explosive every time you touch the ball. Like, everybody needs to be standing up in the crowd, like, what's about to happen when Tank has the ball in his hand, as you saw with him on the punt return, right, or it's receiving. Anytime he touches the ball, right, you got action. So, I'm always excited to watch Tank. He's one of my favorite guys to watch because he's such an exciting player.
That's another great thing, man. Mm-hmm. And Tank Dell, I don't know if you heard, like, they got him pretty much penciled in as, like, the number three receiver.
Yeah.
And I think
He's loving that.
I think he could
He's feeding on that.
I think he could potentially lead this team in yards or touchdowns or both.
I think touchdowns for sure.
Yeah. Touchdowns for sure. He's going to be a fantasy football guy.
I think a lot. I don't know. I don't want to say a lot of teams going to be sleeping on him, but I don't know how you could prepare for these receivers, man. You got Diggs on one side. You got Nico, who just got paid on another side. And then you got Tank Dell.
I just – Like my favorite receiver to watch is Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Like they're all, I mean, Stephon is the number one. We know that. He is what he is. Nico can stretch the field. He's a big numbers guy, had a big season last year. But if I just want to watch a receiver, it's Tank Dell.
Yeah.
Like he
gonna get open. Yeah. He gonna go and grab it. Mm-hmm. He gonna get it.
And I'm amazed at just how he gets open. Like we from last year, we've been talking about it a lot. Well, here's the other thing. So let's look at this perfect offense here. If Joe Mixon is back there, there's that, and he's healthy. So then you got the three wide receivers. Then you got Dalton Schultz. Imagine what this offense could look like if Cade Stover is even just close to what we've been seeing in the preseason.
It's going to be a damn good offense, man. Yeah. It's a lot of options, man. And even last year, they had a pretty good year, but I felt like eventually it wasn't a lot of options where it was kind of, we started slim picking when it comes to receiving, you know, with people getting hurt and all that.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of good options that CJ could go to, man, including the option in the backfield.
Yeah.
And they didn't have that.
They didn't have that. And then the other thing is the offensive line, the toss in Kenyon Green, just being good. You know, Laremy Tunsil back at practice yesterday, if you didn't hear. You know, obviously Titus Howard was not, but you got Blake Fisher doing his thing. You know, this if the offensive line is just decent with those weapons, it's going to be a fun time. I mean, it's going to be.
That offense is going to be scary, man. Like, I'm just thinking as far as, like, take Diggs and Nico out of it. Mm-hmm. Who going to stop Tank Dell, man, from going over the top, man?
He's a blast to watch. Man. He's just a blast to
watch. That's just a scary offense that I don't think anybody can stop that.
No. And look, like, it's not going to go perfect. You know, in the NFL, obviously, there's some great, great players all over the place. But you got to pick your poison. And also, C.J. Stroud has been – there's been no game plan yet. Like, they're just running plays. In fact, they're putting him in some bad spots to kind of challenge him. So, it's pretty good. So, all that said, let's talk about this. I'm not sure Damian Pierce has his place on this team. But is that place, like, on the depth chart? Or on the squad. I don't know if we're overreacting, but let's talk about what this running back room should look like next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
Got some news about a safety still on the market that we're going to get to when we get to the hits at 11:40. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Chris Santiago, and Damian Pierce. He's not here, but he's dude. He had a golden opportunity, like a golden opportunity on Friday night, and we talked about it going in. No Joe Mixon. He had a lot to prove. It was the first time he was going to play. 4 carries, 4 yards. And, I mean, he's been saying all the right things. We've had him on. We've talked with him about just how things are different, how he's getting it, how he didn't get it last year. And we're, you know, give him credit for sort of, you know, being humble enough and strong enough to say, yeah, I didn't have it, but I feel like I got it this year. We didn't see much from Damian Pierce. And so, I mean, you got to ask the question, is he playing for a spot on this team? And I'm not talking about the depth chart. I don't think so, but I think it's a valid question.
Yeah, I think he gonna – I feel like he will probably make this team. And I think, just like you said, he's been saying all the right things. Mm-hmm. He's a good listener. Like, you could tell he held himself accountable for last season. So I think that alone, I think they're going to try to give him every chance he get. And look, I know it's preseason, so you don't have to look deep into that. His first game. But I feel like they're going to give him, you know, at least the start of the season. They're going to see what he can do. If it's not working, and like I said earlier, if Cam Akers make this team, mm-hmm. and he's just on the team, maybe behind Pierce, I think he have a chance to jump Pierce, and then that's when it's going to be problems.
Well, yes, and like, if you set your feelings aside, and if you just go by what we've seen so far. Now, we said this about John Metchie, the exact same thing is true with Damian Pierce. We've already gone through 13, 14 training camp practices, the biggest, most important part of training camp. We've already gone through 2 preseason games. He's played in the second one. There's only going to be 3 practices this week, tomorrow through Thursday. And then after that, preseason game Saturday, and I have a hunch they're going to kind of shut it down and get into regular season mode and give these guys a break, which coaches like to do sort of for job well done or whatever. So, like, based on what we know right now, the bulk of things, if I had to pick the depth chart at running back, it would be Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, Dare Ogunbowale, and then we'll see between J.J. Yeah. Taylor, Juwan Jordan, and Damian Pierce.
Yeah.
That ain't great.
Yeah, it's not. It's not, but just kind of – I'm trying to think how the coaching staff would think, because, like I said, Damian Pierce been saying all the right things. He's in the right mindset. It's just not translating on the field right now.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it, I don't see them picking like a J.J. Taylor over Damian Pierce.
I don't either. That's why I'm leaning that way.
Yeah, those guys. Now, Cam Akers is making it hard. I think in the perfect world, they probably, you know, would cut Cam Akers and let him go. But I don't think you can. I think he's playing that. I think he's playing that well, where it's like, I think if push come to shove, I would put Cam Akers as number 2.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think Damian Pierce been saying the right things, and they got history with him. So I think they're giving him more of the chance to be that number two.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to make – I think it's going to have to be into the season where maybe – I don't know if it's week two, week three,
mm-hmm.
where if Dameon Pierce is still giving you 4 carries, 4 yards – then I think that's
when have it.
Yeah, that's when they're going to have to make a move. And hopefully Cam Akers would make the team where he could be the second person. And yeah. it's not Dari, because that was the issue last year.
Yeah.
Pierce was so unplayable that they were playing Dari. More Dari.
And Dari's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he's looked all right.
So we talked about how D'Amico Ryans had time to watch the film. Well, after watching the film, this was him after practice yesterday talking about the running game.
With the running game, I think, first off, we have to just stay attached on our blocks, especially on the front side. We have to stay attached, and we have to finish better on the front side to get the runs going. I think a lot of our runs got stalled because, you know, we had guys penetrating in the backfield or guys shooting gaps, and we have to respond better, all right, to movement to get our run game going.
And he's not wrong on that. Like yeah, they got hit at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and see, that's why I didn't want to look at this past game and say, you know what, Pierce is in trouble. Because this, you can look at it a lot of different ways on why Pierce didn't really get the run that he should.
Yeah.
But still, man, it's still not
really. The other guys didn't have this.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So they're facing the same team with the same blocking.
Now, if all the other running backs was having the same production, then I can – you know, really see the argument.
Yeah.
But everybody else was just fine.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, Cam Akers. Here's the other thing. Like we're talking about all the adjustments that Dameon Pierce has to have. He had the bad season last year. He's got to come back, prove himself. Hell, Cam Akers wasn't even on the squad.
Yeah.
You know, Cam Akers is having to learn. I know he's familiar with the offense, but he's having to learn this offense, this terminology, in just as much in the same offseason that Dameon Pierce does, and he's looked pretty damn good. This is what D'Amico Ryans had to say about Cam Akers.
From Cam, I've seen a guy, first off, we know he's done it. I've gone against Cam a lot, and I've seen the plays that he's been able to make. So is he surprising me? No, he's not surprising me, but he seems like he's getting back into shape, getting back into football shape, and he's making plays that he's made prior in his career. It's exciting to see him. You know, just shows when guys maximize their opportunity. And I think he's a guy who's taking advantage of that, coming into camp late. But he's picked up on things very quickly. He's very sharp mentally. And that's allowed him to step in, I think, and really, you know, showcase his talents of what he's been able to do. And the biggest thing is him, right, making guys miss. I think it's, you know, when you're playing a running back position, you can make defenders miss. Like Cam just has a savvy way of doing that, and that allows him to continue to press forward and gain yards for us.
See, that's the other thing. He came in late.
Yeah.
And he's passed Dameon Pierce.
And the stuff that D'Amico Ryans said about Cam Akers
mm-hmm.
is what Dameon Pierce is having a hard time doing.
Yeah.
And Cam Akers is, you heard him, he's making people miss.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting that extra yardage.
Well, see,
that's something Dameon Pierce not doing.
6 carries, 17 yards, by the way, on Friday night. But see, that's the thing. Not only did he come in late, like if he proves to be healthy, which it seems like he's back to full health or at least close to it, how the hell are you going to put Dameon Pierce ahead of him? And if Dameon Pierce is third, if it's Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, and oh, by the way, you just heard D'Amico also say, like, we know what he's done. He's done it. He's done it multiple years. It wasn't a rookie year on a bad team like Dameon Pierce. Like, so you got Joe Mixon, Cam Akers. There's no way you can put Dameon Pierce ahead of him. Well, then all of a sudden you get into some real decision-making because of Dare. And some of these other guys.
Yeah, I think that's the issue right there is – you know, I think Dare is a lock on the squad.
Yeah.
I think he do a lot, and they actually trust him probably more than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
But the other guys, after that, I can see them parting ways with practice squad stuff and all that. I just, to me, just watching what we've seen, I just don't see how you put Pierce ahead of Cam Akers right now.
I'll tell you one thing. I don't know if Joe Mixon is going to play on Saturday, but he'll certainly play some between now and the last preseason game. I'm not going to run Dameon Pierce like a workhorse, but I'd sure as hell give him 8 or 10 carries, like a good 8 or 10 carries in a game, in a half or whatever, because like he's playing for, I keep saying a place on the squad, because I still don't think he's going to get released. But I think it's on the table, and he's playing for his place on the squad. he's got to be asking for 8 or 10 carries, and we got to see something.
But do you feel like the way they're playing him is like they know he's a lock on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems like to me,
no.
I feel like they, you know, they didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, which, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they kind of using him like he's a starter. Like, they give him a little bit of run. And
he didn't play in the first preseason game.
Yeah. So that's something you expect from, you know, not the
greatest artist.
I don't
know, man. I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. It just, to me, I felt like if he was really fighting for his spot, he would be playing more. We probably see him the whole first half.
Look,
it seemed like they trying
between,
to preserve
between Cam Akers.
He's getting that starter type of treatment.
He is. I don't know why. I don't know why. Like I said, other than we love him, they love him. We know they love him, and they're pulling for him. Dude, pulling for somebody ain't got nothing to do with it at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it ain't got nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I feel like they treating Mechie more like he's fighting for his roster spot.
Yeah.
More than Pierce fighting for his.
Mm-hmm.
They just, like I said, they treating Pierce like he's a starter a little bit. He getting some of that starter treatment.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's probably a lot to make this team and probably a lot to be number two.
No, ain't no way he's a lot to be number two right now. Like you can't do that. You can't do that to yourself. Forget doing that to Cam Akers. Like you've got a guy that 2 years ago he had 700 and whatever yards. A guy that's played in a Super Bowl that came back from an injury to do that, and then a couple of other years ago, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think he ran for about 700 again. Like Cam Akers has done it. He's still pretty young. Like he's 26, I believe, 27. Obviously the injuries are a factor, but he's proven it. Like you brought Cam Akers in on what they always call a prove-it deal.
Yeah.
He's proved it.
Yeah, I agree.
At least so far, he's proved it.
I think right now, I think Cam Akers looks better than Dameon Pierce.
Yeah.
But the way they're not really playing Pierce like that, it's just like...
They're giving him that special treatment.
Yeah, that like they know what they got from Pierce, and he don't have to go out there and prove anything.
Yeah.
That's what it come across.
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, man, maybe they just like the way he talk and how confident he is where... Yeah. You know, I guess Akers got to really, you know, blow the doors off of people to.
Yeah.
Because I would play Pierce way more. I would have to see way more
absolutely.
From Pierce.
Absolutely. I think that's what we need to do
but
the rest
they
of
just,
the way.
They just treating him
well,
like.
We'll find out this week.
Yeah.
I think he needs to get about 8 or 10 carries, which is a lot in the preseason.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh, that's not. No, it is. That's a lot in the preseason.
Yeah. If he only played just with the starters and that's it, then I'm like, man, I need to see a little more.
Yeah. All right, things are getting real, and it's getting real. Things are feeling real, and it's getting real for the Houston Astros. And I do have a question for Figgy. I want his honest answer what Tom Cruise and I have in common. That's next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Drills one. Deep to left field. Forget about it. Three-run bomb by Alex Bregman. Astros nail in front, 4-0. Breggy hits his 17th of the year.
Breggy bringing the heat to Fenway.
Longer than air yard on, sends one to center field. Welsh drug, Rafaela back. This ball's gone to straightaway center. Just when Breggy thought he hit a bomb, Yordan crushes one to center. Back-to-back big flies, and the Astros lead it 5-0.
I think that's what you call a statement.
Yeah.
I think that's what you call a statement.
That's something we needed, man. That's something the Astros needed.
Alex Bregman goes, I saw longest home run of his career, 441 feet. And then Yordan goes dead center at Fenway.
Nah, Bregman is cooking.
They are both cooking.
Man.
Five straight wins for the Astros. Sweep of the Red Sox in Boston. Going into Tampa. And Bregman, you mentioned he's cooking. 7 out of 12 for the weekend. 2 home runs, 4 RBI, 6 runs scored. Yordan, he looks like the best hitter in baseball again.
Yeah.
Got to be getting close to playoff time. Series against Boston, 6 out of 10. 3 home runs, 3 walks, 5 runs, 5 RBI. And by the way, Hunter Brown was getting practically stupid good there for a while. 9 more strikeouts. 5 1/3 innings. He now has 139 strikeouts in 127 innings. And since June 8th, when he really started turning this thing around. Hunter Brown has a 2.32 ERA and 21 walks, 75 strikeouts.
I'm feeling good about this pitching staff, man.
It's all starting to feel real.
Yeah.
It's now, starting to feel real.
They've been doing their thing the last 2 weeks, man. They've been looking really good, man. Like, we haven't been asking a lot from this pitching staff, or at least I haven't. Yeah. I've been saying, give us 5 innings. Yeah. Give us 5 innings, 6 innings is probably max, because the way this this start pitching is.
Yeah.
Give us that, and this is without Verlander.
And he's coming back. He had his rehab start Saturday. He's going to have another rehab start. He felt pretty good about it, if you didn't see that. But I said it's starting to feel real. It's also starting to get real. The Mariners didn't give any ground.
Yeah.
They've been cooking too. They won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Right now, they are in a virtual tie for first place in the American League West. Mariners have a decently kind of hard schedule. The Astros have a harder schedule slightly, if I had to guess. It's getting real with the Astros, and they just blow you away. Like you kill them. It's like a stepping on a cockroach. I said that earlier, and then they just all of a sudden start walking away and say, "Nah, man, I'm still around. I'm still here."
They like one of them gnats that be in everywhere. No matter how clean your house is, you always have a gnat, and it's just like, man, that gnat keep coming around, and you even clap your hand, try to kill it.
Yep.
Nope, you missed it, and I'm gonna come right back in your face and irritate you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buzz in your ear.
Yep.
That's the Astros right there, man. They the boogie. That's why I call them the boogeyman.
The boogeyman. And the Mariners are looking over their shoulder, but the Mariners, to their credit, are playing pretty well. Tonight, 5:50 our time, Framber Valdez versus Taj Bradley. We get a little Kikuchi tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yusei Kikuchi against Shane Baz tomorrow night, and then Wednesday, Ronel Blanco against Zach Littell. So, starting to feel pretty damn real here. So I got this during the break. It's an updated schedule from the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about it. This is brutal. I mean, they better be in the bubble, but I know they don't like to practice in the bubble.
Yeah.
So practice tomorrow has been changed. So you'll be hearing about it, you know, right in the meat of our show, right about this time. They changed their practice tomorrow to 11:30 a.m.
Man.
Wednesday 10:50 a.m. and Thursday 11:15 a.m. Dude, you're practicing, I'm guessing, outside, unless they go into the stadium. Maybe that's it.
I'm over here trying to check the weather.
I need to shoot a text out there. Maybe they're going into the stadium because they're playing their first home game. I sure hope so, because you can't be outside at 11:30.
It's supposed to be a high 95.
That's it, right? They got to be in the stadium.
I don't think so, man.
Let me shoot a text out there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, the middle of the day? Yeah, the middle of the
day. Too hot for that, man.
It is way too. It's got to be either bubble or stadium. Got to be.
They trying to sweat. I think they trying to sweat. That's what that is.
Well, I know D'Amico, you know, he's such a meticulous guy about the routine and all that. They play a noon game on Saturday, which is cool. Really cool, by the way.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that noon preseason game. The next preseason game's at noon, too. And then the regular season starts. That's a noon game.
At noon, yep.
So he's probably trying to get, get them accustomed to that. So I mentioned this as well. Last week, I thought Justin Simmons to the Saints was a done deal. Like, that's it. Well, the Falcons today are hosting free agent safety Justin Simmons today and tomorrow. I guess that dinner wasn't that good.
Yeah,
he went to dinner with the Honey Badger and some Saints personnel. We thought they were going to sign, but he's now in Atlanta, their arch rival.
I wonder what's going on with him, man. Mm-hmm. Like, do anybody like him, or is it Justin Simmons being picky? Yeah, I wonder if he's just being picky.
Maybe it's leverage. He knows, hey, I really want to sign with the Saints. I know what'll get him. I'll go to the Falcons for a day or two.
Yeah, I just, man.
Nah, it's not that.
I just don't know.
Or maybe an injury that nobody's kind of like.
Well, he did have to do his physical, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe, in New Orleans?
Yeah, maybe it's an injury he's trying to hide.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, we'll see. Got this just breaking as well, so I'm sure a lot of people are interested in this. The Associated Press first of the season college football top 25 poll has come out, and that's going to It's going to be a big time year with the new teams in the SEC and everything. Georgia, number one by a pretty wide margin, 46 first place votes. Ohio State, number two.
O-H-I-O.
Oregon, number three. The Texas Longhorns are number four, followed by Alabama. Ole Miss with a top 10. Number seven, Notre Dame, Penn State, Michigan, and Florida State. Other teams of note, LSU is number 13 in the first poll. Oklahoma, number 16. Oklahoma State, 17. Texas A&M, 20. And that's about it for the local interest. But, boy, opening the season, number seven, Notre Dame, at number 20, Texas A&M. I got a hunch that somebody in this room is going to be there. That's going to be pretty wild. But, Georgia and Ohio State, number one and two.
I can't wait for college football,
man. I can't wait.
It's funny. I'm looking at Oregon. I forgot they was in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Man.
So, yeah. So, it ain't just Ohio State and Michigan now. Man.
Yeah.
So, that's a little scary, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait.
All right, so the Olympics officially over with the closing ceremonies yesterday. Man, this made me feel inadequate. So they did the closing ceremonies yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise did the most Tom Cruise thing I've...
Jump from an airplane or something?
Pretty much.
Oh, goodness.
He was at the top of Stade de France, the Olympic Stadium, and on a cable, and here's what made me feel inadequate. Tom Cruise and I are almost the exact same age. We are almost the exact same age. I often get confused for people. Always
so
say,
y'all went to school at the same time.
What do you mean what's
same,
going on, Lopez?
Same time.
You heard that?
What do you mean?
My man looked 26.
Dude, well, he's got money to get some work done.
Yeah, he looked like he could be your child, man.
Look.
So y'all would have been the same high school class. Man.
Tom Cruise and I are almost identically the same age. And I know it makes sense because I often get confused for Tom Cruise. I'm walking down the street. People are like, hey, I thought you were shorter. But so Tom Cruise is standing on at my age, standing on the top of the Stade de France and literally steps off.
And that was Tom from the top of Stade de France down to the floor of the stadium.
Gosh, that's how you do it. That's how you do it right there. What a closing ceremony. This is so...
pretty unbelievable. Pretty unbelievable.
Man.
Like, from the top, outside of the stadium, from the top, dang, jumps into the stadium on the cable.
So we got to get you to do something like that.
Cal and Hannah.
Same age.
I'm ready. Cal and Hannah, I'll do it.
I would be nervous for you, man.
Well, I'd be nervous for me.
Yeah,
I'd be scared of Lopez stepping off of a stair. Let alone,
what do we do?
NRG.
You strap a cable on me. You give me some instructions. I'll step off that.
Man,
I will. No, I might not live.
I'd be worried for you, man.
I might not live. So me and Tom Cruise, we got that in common. So they're saying it's the greatest Olympics ever. Started out kind of weird with that opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Dude, there was moment after moment after moment.
Especially for the U.S.
Yeah.
Man, last time I checked, I think this is right. They led the whole world in medals.
Yeah.
In every category.
They had 126 medals. I think 91 or something like that was second China. And they tied for gold with China at 40. And the USA men's basketball and USA women's basketball were outstanding. If you haven't heard Steph.
The devil.
As the French announcer called him, the devil. Steph is the devil. But he said it like complimentary. He was kind of laughing.
Yeah.
But here's the devil. But this was Steph knocking him down, man. Knocking him down. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
4 3-pointers in the last 2 minutes and 47 seconds. That was the French announcer. The devil named Steph. The devil named Steph. And the women, too.
Yeah. That went down to the wire, man. I was sitting there watching that.
She had her foot on the line.
Yeah.
Or else that was it. They would have tied it. Or won. They would have tied it.
Yeah, salute to Gabby Williams, man. Yeah. She could have took it to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
That girl was killing it, man.
Absolutely.
I didn't even know I wasn't even familiar with the game, but yeah. Clearly she wanted to put it to the Team yeah. USA.
And track and field was unbelievable. Obviously, gymnastics earlier in the week was unbelievable. It would be hard for me to say, all right, this is the star of the Olympics. Yeah. At this point, you could say Steph.
Yeah.
You could say, you know, Sydney McLaughlin. You could say Simone Biles. Yeah, and I'm talking about for the Americans, but there were stars everywhere.
Yeah, you could point everywhere and be like, oh, that was the moment. Or that was the moment.
Yeah.
It's a lot of moments, especially for Team USA.
Yeah, it kind of revived the Olympics. Because going in, I was like, it just doesn't quite feel the same. And you always kind of feel like that. Dude, this was awesome.
This is probably the most I ever watched the Olympics. Yeah. I think maybe because I got Peacock, and it's so much easier. Shout out to Peacock, man. They made it so much easier to keep up with all type of sports that you normally don't watch.
Yeah.
And I was just going through every category, just checking in, and they made it so much easier to keep up. This is the most I ever watched the Olympics.
Well, here's the other thing. One of the reasons Tom Cruise was there is it was kind of a handoff to the next Olympics in 4 years, next Summer Olympics in 4 years, which is going to be in L.A.
Yeah.
Boy, they got a lot to live up to.
Man, it's funny. As I was sitting there watching the Olympics, I'm like, man, you know what? I want to go to the Olympics next time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to go to L.A. I don't know if you want to go to L.A. Hey, it's already tough going to L.A. on a Wednesday.
Dude. Just for a weekend.
Man,
just
I don't know.
Just for a weekend. Let's go, Figgy. Come on.
I don't know about that, man. I'll wait till they go out the country again, man.
But, like, dude, the people, the event. I mean, they're gonna try to put on a hell of a show.
I think they're going
to
do a good job.
Yeah.
But I'm just L.A., man. Olympics in L.A., so everybody around the world.
How early do you have to leave to get to an event? Like, you've seen it. You've seen that L.A. traffic.
Yeah, nah. I know it'd probably be super excited for people that live there to be able to say, hey, the Olympics coming to my city.
Yeah.
But it got to be dreadful, too.
It's going to be.
For the everyday working man.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That got to be the worst.
Oh, I think Airbnb is going to go off the charts. I just say, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a month vacation. I don't need Christmas. I don't need anything else. I'm going to take a month vacation. You're going to be renting your house for $3,000 a day for a simple little house, $5,000 a day.
I'm just thinking about that traffic and all that stuff, man. It's going to be rough.
It's going to be real rough. All right. So we've asked this question as recently as last week, and it kind of gets tantalizing. It really does. What if this Texans defense is not just good, but really good? And what do we think now? I think you can argue for and against that premise, but we're going to dig into this Texans defense and what we saw Friday and what we saw yesterday. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.